Good morning. Welcome to you as we begin our time of worship here in the Lord's house this morning. Please take a moment to sign the friendship register at the end of each row closest to the center aisle and then pass it next to your neighbor seated next to you. Please take a look at your bulletins for a number of events taking place during the month of September. There is an education committee meeting this week, and the Men of Faith Fellowship will meet next week. There are also a number of, there's a Bible study on each Wednesday evening. Today, there is an open house at Baby Grace, which is a Northland organization that provides baby and infant care supplies to families in need. That is from 11:30 until 1:30 this afternoon at the North Star Methodist Church. The address is inside your bulletin. Berry Christian Church has been supporting the ministries of Baby Grace for some time now, and one of the organization's leader is Beth Witten, who is the daughter of Lana Witten. Please do take a few minutes today and stop by and learn more about Baby Grace's ministry here in the Northland. And then next Saturday, September 18th, beginning at 8 o'clock a.m., volunteers from Rebuilding Together, KC, will be doing some exterior repair work on Jill McCombie's house. And she's just across from Antioch Shopping Mall. Her address is 2417 Northeast 52nd Terrace. If you need that address, I'll leave this up here after service today. You can come up and take a picture of it. We're welcome to volunteer and donate funds or simply show up to express our support for Jill and the many volunteers. Rebuilding Together KC is a volunteer organization with over 7,000 volunteers in the last 20 years. And they've achieved more than $3 million of renovations on over 1,000 homes throughout Kansas City. Again, that's next Saturday, September 18th. We have been truly blessed with a thriving children's ministry here since we were able to resume that this past spring following a year of social restrictions. We have some strong plans to grow this ministry, but we need your help to do this. We have a group of children ranging from age infant to age teen. Obviously, they have different needs to feed their spiritual growth, and with those multiple age groups, we have a need for multiple people to help. So when Kathy approaches you, please don't run away. And please consider your ability to contribute to this very important aspect of our ministry here at Berry Christian Church. All right, now may we begin our worship service with our call to worship. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Great and mighty is our Lord. His wisdom cannot be measured. He takes pleasure in those who honor him, in those who trust in his constant love. Let us sing our opening hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. It's hymn number 2. We'll sing all stanzas.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive our fear and doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. stars and angels sing around the center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever bless. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live and love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the happy chorus, stars of morning, take your part. Love divine is reigning o'er us, binding those of tender heart. Ever singing, move we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
May we bow for a word of prayer. O Lord, we welcome the fall season as we begin to feel cooler weather and we begin to see and hear the signs of football. But as we reflect on the changing seasons and the passage of time, we give thanks that your presence with us here at Berry remains timeless. Our fellowship is here through all seasons and for all time. Eternal God, we seek now the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has promised that he will be with us until the end of time. We pray for the guidance of your Spirit as we begin our worship together. It is in the name of Christ Jesus that we pray. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front here for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus on page 190.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. Thank you. Takes a second. Okay. I'm going to start saying some words. And as soon as you think you know what I'm talking about, I want you to just shout it out. Okay? You ready? It means you got to listen, right? Okay, let's see. Sitting. Standing, laying down, arms crossed, hands raised. They got it. Good job. Praising God, praising Jesus. And we do that by saying prayers, don't we? And singing. So now I got a question for you. Those are all different ways that people say their prayers, isn't it? Different people say their prayers different ways. So my question is, what's the best way to say prayer? It's a trick question. There really isn't a best way. The best way to say your prayers is whatever makes you feel close to God. Whatever makes you feel like Jesus and the Holy Spirit is in your heart, that's the best way to say prayer. That's why there's so many different ways to say prayers. Because not everybody says them the same. Not everybody feels the same way. So if you feel closer to Jesus laying in your bed with your eyes closed, that's great. If you feel closer standing up and raising your hands, that's great too. One of the ways that I feel really close is just every day when I'm doing stuff. I can't always close my eyes as I'm driving down this road. That wouldn't be a good idea, would it? Nope. So any way you feel close to Jesus, that's a good way to pray. Can we have a little prayer before we go down to children's church? Gracious and glorious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are always there to hear our prayers, that we are able to have a close relationship with you. Thank you for listening, no matter where we are or what we're doing. Please bless this day and help us to always, always keep you in our heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Oh, wait a minute.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer, a number of people for us to remember this week. First of all, Ruby Wolf is at St. Luke's on the Plaza and is anticipating a gallbladder removal surgery tomorrow. So we're certainly keeping her in mind, Ron and Teresa. Bless you guys. We want to lift up Lauren and Helen Kirby. Helen had a heart catheterization this past week, and it revealed a number of other concerns regarding the carotid arteries and other issues for her heart. So other factors are going to have to now be considered before that aortic valve replacement procedure. So please keep them in prayer, as a lot of decisions are needing to be made in the days ahead. Larry Pettis is being treated for lung cancer, but is again staying home in the midst of the virus. John and Jean Cantola are also home, but have health concerns that we want to lift up and keep them in prayer. Wanda Ekrit is recovering from a recent fall, and but she is home. And Larry E. Critt is quarantined at his home as he has the coronavirus. Also, Jerry and Betty Donahue are in our prayers. Jerry has discovered that he's actually dealing with that COVID pneumonia. And at the same time, though, he's looking at a future kidney transplant sometime in the next year to 18 months or so. Betty also has a number of health concerns that we are lifting up in prayer. We lift up Kathy Gorman and Michelle Jacobo, as well as Grace and Jean Kimberling and Jill Gregory. We're also lifting up in Lana Witten's family, her daughter Beth, who is having a consultation tomorrow that's very important. Linda Stevens' nephew Colson is home from that surgery with the fractures in his leg, and hope that he makes a good recovery. We're also lifting up Linda's son-in-law, heart concerns, and has a CT scan on Monday of this week. Emily Sterling, Susan Hanks' grandson Jake's girlfriend, is in our prayers, as well as Rayana Ralston, London Cohen's grandmother Rita, and John and Mary Jane Adams' great-grandson Winston with the heart concerns he's had since birth. We also lift up John Berman's father Robert, Kelly Jackson's mother Pat, Kathy Gorman's mother Wilma, and her daughter-in-law Natalie is still dealing with effects from the coronavirus. So, and it's been now several months she's been dealing with breathing and heart concerns. We lift up Edna Williams' sister Kay and her cousin Anna, Patty Miller's sister Nancy, and we also are continuing to remember Bob and Jackie Rockhold. And Perla asked for prayers for Ralph and Anna, and Tim Jackson, who is our new custodian, by the way, he is asking for prayers for a neighbor's son-in-law, Brandon. So with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we offer you praise for the privilege to freely worship in your house this Lord's Day. As the 20th anniversary of 9/11 was marked yesterday, as wildfires still rage in the West, as people along the Gulf Coast and Eastern Seaboard are striving to rebuild their lives, and even as more Americans are dying every 2 days from the virus than those lost on 9/11, we're humbled by the depth and breadth of loss and suffering experienced by so many across our nation. In decades past, we've often perceived the world's greatest challenges as happening in distant lands. But in our present moment, we realize now that lasting trials are being experienced among our own citizens in our own cities and hometowns. We pray, O God, for your guidance among us, not only to muster the courage to endure, but more importantly, the resolve to overcome, while also striving to be a benefit to others in whatever ways are possible. For in all things, O God, we know that suffering and loss are temporary experiences of our fallible existence in this earthly world, while our faith tells us that solace, assurance, and joy are gifts granted through the promise of our eternal salvation in Christ. So may it be with willing hearts, minds, and souls that we seek your living presence among us with each and every step, being assured that the victory is ours in Christ. For as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This be our prayer, as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lenora and Andrew. Thank you. For our community reflection, we are focusing on the holiness of God, as that is certainly the emphasis of the very first portion of the Lord's Prayer. As the Scriptures inspire us by stating, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord Almighty is holy. His glory fills the world." Be holy in all that you do, just as God who called you is holy. As the Scripture says, "Be holy because God is holy." Our hymn of contemplation number 4, "Holy, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty," all stanzas, please.
Adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, God in three ever living through eternity. Holy, 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 through the darkness hide thee, though the sinful human eye thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
This morning, a rather brief text, it's just simply Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, we're grateful for the day, the privilege to be in your house, and to learn more about the ways that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, that we, like them, may be drawn ever closer in our relationship to you, and that we may also especially comprehend your holiness. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks for the privilege to worship you this day. Amen. Last Sunday, we discovered that Jesus showed his disciples that prayer is first and foremost a discipline of continual communion with God. And we learned that Jesus prayed not only to petition God for the needs of others, but he also prayed for three primary other reasons. One, to be spiritually connected to God. Secondly, to avoid temptation. And three, to stay on course with God's salvation plan for humanity. And as we think of those four different aspects that were lifted up last week, we really do understand that there is a deep reason for having a very active and meaningful prayer life in our relationship to God. Now, it was a typical custom for a rabbi to teach his disciples to pray a simple prayer, one that they could say habitually. And John the Baptist had done this, and we know this because in previous sermons I've shared with you that Jesus' disciples, like James, John, Andrew, and Simon Peter, had all followed John the Baptist before meeting Jesus. So it comes to no surprise for us then that in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the text says that one of Jesus' disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Thus in Luke chapter 1, verse 2, Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say this." And then he shared with them what for centuries has been the most widely known prayer in the Bible, and quite likely the most memorized prayer in the world, the Lord's Prayer. Now, the Lord's Prayer is not the only prayer to offer God, but what the prayer offers is a template of seven themes from which our prayers to God can be modeled. The first of those themes is to acknowledge God's holiness. That's what we'll talk about today. Secondly, seeking God's kingdom. Third, believing that God meets our needs. Fourth, to seek God's forgiveness as we strive to forgive others. Five, to avoid hard testing. And six, to acknowledge that God's kingdom, his power, and his glory are forever. And again, remember, in some versions of the scriptures, that portion is not there. And in some versions, also, the final word is not there. That word simply is amen. But do you know what amen means? It simply means so be it. So those are the principles behind this scripture, behind this prayer in Scripture. And what it is telling us is that those are the template that we should use to model our own prayers to God. And so now in this first sermon about the Lord's Prayer, our focus today is on that first theme, acknowledging God's holiness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, in the most familiar and most memorized King James Version states, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, the phrase, "after this manner," is simply a way of sanctioning the words that are to follow and encouraging listeners to pay attention, to recite, and to memorize these words. It's like a teacher pausing in the middle of a lesson, standing there in front of her students and saying, "Now remember this." Didn't you like the teacher who would say to you while you're, you know, she's going along with the lecture, or you're just listening along, and you think, "What's really important?" And then the teacher would say, "This is going to be on the exam." And at least those who were listening would get that, right? "This is going to be on the exam." In other words, I really don't want to fail all of you. For those of you who are listening, you'll get it. So this is like, we have to understand, this is the spirit of Jesus speaking here at this point. He is saying, "Now remember this." And he offers up the Lord's Prayer. And as Jesus then says in Luke chapter 11, verse 2, "When you pray, say..." And Jesus proceeds with a few simple sentences that bring forth a very deep understanding, similar to Abraham Lincoln's very concise but very powerful and memorable Gettysburg Address. Thus, Jesus begins his prayer by saying, "Our Father." It's the same expression as Abba, Father, that we see in Mark's Gospel, the 36th chapter, where Jesus, in his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, says, "Father, my Father, all things are possible from you, yet not what I want, but what you want." That moment in the garden was truly a most intimate expression of Jesus acknowledging God's great love for him as a father could love a son. But Jesus is also reciprocating that great love by striving to be an obedient son, by following God's plan for humanity's salvation, even if it means the pain, the suffering, and death of the cross. Then the Apostle Paul later uses the same expression, Abba, Father, in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Paul is also acknowledging a father's great love for a child and is also saying that that child reciprocates that love by wanting to do that which honors and pleases the Father. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, verse 13, we are blessed with the spirit of sonship, and thus we too cry out, Abba, Father. Thus, when you and I begin the Lord's Prayer simply by saying, Our Father, we too are recognizing God's immense love for us. And his love compels us then to want to do that which pleases God. We are the one who is so enamored by another person's love that we want to do all we can to reciprocate that love. So you see, there is a depth of meaning behind the Greek language here when we just see these simple words, Our Father. The text goes on to say, Our Father, which art in heaven. We appreciate God's enduring love for us, and we want to do whatever we can to please God, but we also recognize that God is in heaven, and we're not. You know, that's something we have to realize about our human predicament. We would like to believe we're in a heavenly realm. We would like to believe that nothing bad will happen to us. And the commercialized society in which we live in, that's always trying to sell us a product that will make things better for us, even though you have the lawyer script, you know, at the end of the pill commercial. You wonder, after you listen to all the stuff about everything that the pill could do that's wrong for you, you wonder why you take the pill to begin with if you listen to that, right? But we really are about this whole notion of wanting to believe that everything's going to be peachy keen. The truth of the matter, however, is our Father, which art in heaven, but we're not. And we have to acknowledge that. Verbally acknowledging that God is in heaven accentuates the humility and awe that we should experience when we approach the throne of God. As did generations of believers before us, we are taking notice that God dwells in his heavenly throne, on his heavenly throne in heaven, and our task is to revere him. As Moses urges the Israelites to be obedient to God, as he declares in Deuteronomy chapter 4, so remember today and never forget the Lord God is in heaven and on earth. There is no other God. Obey all his laws that I have given you today, and all will go well with you and your descendants. Well, we read that and we think, well, how can that be? Well, it is really true. A lot of humanity's suffering is a consequence of humanity's own stuff, often beating up on one another or being unjust to one another. So much of our world's sorrow and tribulation could be eliminated if we would just honor each other, care for each other the way God intended. A generation later, when Joshua was leading God's people, Rahab, in Jericho, expressed a level of fearful awe and reverence for the God of the Hebrew people as she declares to the spies who had entered her home inside the city wall in Joshua chapter 2, "We are afraid as soon as we heard. We all have lost our courage because of you. The Lord, your God, is God of heaven above," she declares. And she's not even a Hebrew. And even later, as King Solomon was dedicating the temple to God, Solomon acknowledges that God's true place is really in the heavens, not even in that temple, but in the heavens, as he prays before God in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 21. "Hear my prayers and the prayers of your people, Israel, when they face this place and in your home in heaven, hear us and forgive us." As that first sentence continues in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." When we used to recite the Lord's Prayer as young children, we probably wondered, what does that word hallowed mean? Does it mean that God's name is somehow hallowed out? Right? What did hallowed mean? That's one of the problems of learning so much in the King James Version. We remember a lot of Bible verses in the King James because we've been memorizing them for generations, and because the text seems to have kind of a poetic sense to it. But unfortunately, there are many archaic words from the King's English of the 1600s whose meaning are lost, misunderstood in our time. But what we must understand is that the expression, "Hallowed be thy name," simply means that God's name must be revered and understood to be holy. Holy simply means to be exalted or worthy of our complete devotion. Thus, it is with absolute honor and high regard that we approach God in his throne as we begin to offer our prayer before him. As 1 Samuel chapter 2 states, "There is none holy like the Lord." And as Isaiah 6:3 reminds us, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And as Psalm 96 verse 9 declares, "Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth." As we begin the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," we realize that our minds, our eyes, and our hearts are all focused on God and God's heavenly realm. When we begin the Lord's Prayer, and really when we begin any prayer, our full focus should be on honoring God and acknowledging his holiness. And when we do that in the initial part of our prayer, there's no room to think about ourselves. We also realize that God's great love and holiness compels us to respond by striving to be as holy as we can be as well. You know, it reminds me like when I was with the cadets for well over a decade. You know, when we would have a particular number of cadets, and especially hopefully the adults as well, when they would wear the uniform properly and have the haircut, which was absolutely required, had to be very specific before you were even given the privilege to wear the uniform. But I remember that those who showed that example, it became a reflection for the other young cadets who were coming in. And they would strive to come up to that standard. We remember particularly one young man. He came into our group. He had all reg- ragged old t-shirt on, old baggy pants. His hair was down, you know, to his shoulders. And I thought, oh my goodness, I don't know that he's going to feel like this is the kind of program he's going to want to be in. We explained to him what was going to have to happen. And we mentioned, for example, well, one thing is, you know, your hair is going to have to look like these other young men over here. The next Monday, he came back. His hair was completely buzzed off. I mean, just all of it gone. You know, like the kind of a cut you get when you went into basic training kind of thing. I got to know that young man. I also got to know his family. And in time, he actually joined my church and became a deacon and continued to stay there as an adult. What we didn't understand that first Monday night was he's pretty much on his own. His father was an alcoholic. His mother was bedridden. He was on his own. But by golly, he wanted to make a difference. I asked him as time went on, why did he decide to become a part of our program? He said, I want my life to make a difference, and I want to be bigger. I want to be a part of something that's bigger than myself. Dan was his name. You know, we got Dan all straightened up, got him the uniforms. You know, we found out the reason why his hair was buzzed off is he went home and he got a pair of clippers, you know, and he just crossed the top of his head because that's all he knew to do. But he was striving to be a part of something bigger than himself. When you and I start our prayers before God, and we say, Our Father, we ought to feel His love right at that moment. Who art in heaven, we ought to recognize that, yes, God is in the heavenly realm, and we're not yet, but we're going to get there. Hallowed be Thy name. We ought to recognize there's a holiness about God that is just something beyond our comprehension. But we want to strive toward that level of holiness in whatever we do or say. Because it's a way for us to spiritually, physically, mentally be bigger than ourselves, and to be a part of something greater than ourselves, something that is of the eternal realm, rather than just something of this groveling earthly existence, right? And so that's why scriptures tell us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, but he who has called you is holy. You also be holy in your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So when you begin the Lord's Prayer, or any other prayer, who are you thinking of first? Yourselves and your own concerns? Your relatives and friends and their concerns? Or do you begin your prayer, or even the Lord's Prayer, by consciously offering praise to God, to the Holy God, who loves and cares for you? The sign outside this morning says, Holy is God. It's a reference to Isaiah 6:3. Holy, holy, holy. The Lord Almighty is holy. His glory fills the world. You know, Christ, if He's not your Lord, today is that day for you to come forward and have your life transformed. For today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 601, I Am Thine, O Lord, we'll sing stanzas 1 and 4, please.
I am Thine, O Lord, I have heard Thy voice, and it told Thy love to me. but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, near, near, blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee. Draw me nearer, near, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side.
Just a reminder that the open house is taking place for Baby Grace a little later on this morning until about 1:30 or so this afternoon. Again, our congregation has been giving a significant level of support to Baby Grace, especially through all of the pandemic context in which we've been a part of. And we're delighted that Beth Witten, Lana Witten's, one of Lana's daughters, is one of the main leaders of that program. And so we'd encourage you to stop by and offer a word of encouragement to Beth and folks there at Baby Grace. And again, reminder, Saturday, Rebuild Together KC will be doing some exterior work on Jill McCombie's house this coming Saturday. I know that that did not make the paperwork in this morning's bulletin, but I will send out an email to the congregation later in the day, later in the week, if you will. But even if you miss that, you can just show up at her house if you're interested at 8 o'clock on Saturday, this coming Saturday. And, of course, her address is in our church directory. If you just want to go and say hello to Jill and offer some support, Rebuilding Together KC certainly welcomes your donations to their ministry. But again, over $3 million has been committed to various rebuild projects for people throughout Kansas City. So it's a wonderful local program. Over 7,000 volunteers in the last 20 years. So we praise God for that work and grateful that Jill is a recipient of their endeavors. May we bow our heads. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit is with us. For that we give thanks. As we know we can honor you, not only in our prayers, but in everything we do and say. For that privilege we give thanks as we enter into this new week. Guide us now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things you have done. With his blood, Christ has saved me. With your power, you have raised me. To God be the glory for the things you have done. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things you have done. With his blood, Christ has saved me. With your power you have raised me. To God be the glory for the things you have done.